Hello, I'm Ling Ling with the new edition of Biz China. First off, let's see what's in store for you in today's show. Public utilities open for non-governmental capital, and the long-standing monopoly on social services is to come to an end.
It is the most effective way to inject vitality, motivation, and pressure into utility sector, and the consumers will benefit in the end.
Will Mickey Mouse bring Hong Kong a sprinkling of magic by dragging the Pearl of the Orient out of its economic slump? We continue our look at the blueprint of Hong Kong Disneyland.
Good to see Hong Kong have something as positive as a Disneyland being built, because maybe that will help bring more positive activities to Hong Kong and help them move ahead and get past this negative period in their history.
To change or not to change? That's the question raised by the local media service as their foreign counterparts are marching into the once domestically dominated territory.
I think China at the moment, it's not a problem of opening up its market. It must think about how to open up its market. It should have this spirit, enhance or cultivate the spirit of professionalism and starting press reform before it opens up its media market, TV market to foreign investors.
For these stories and more, stay with us on Biz China, the weekly business show right here on CRI. Ready to go public in 2 years. That's the ambitious plan by one of China's four big state-owned banks, the Bank of China, as a prelude to its capital expansion. If that comes true, the oldest bank in China will claim the title First Listed State-Owned Bank. Awarded the best bank in China by London-based professional magazine Euromoney since 1992 and included in the Fortune Global 500 for 13 consecutive years, Bank of China profits surged 27% last year and realized an operating profit of more than $6 billion. But like many of its domestic counterparts, it has to first overcome tremendous obstacles, most significantly its high non-performing loan ratio. BOC President Liu Mingkang says writing off its heavy financial burden is the precondition for going public.
Top of our priority is treatment of bad assets so that we can enhance our capacity for making profits.
The bank lowered its non-performing loans ratio by more than 5 percentage points last year, but it still stands at over 20%, 5% higher than the designated rate by the central bank. As part of its preparations for the domestic listing, the nation's second-largest lender is considering selling equity to foreign investors to diversify its ownership. And as Dong Jianyue, general manager of the asset management department of the bank, hopes, this will enhance liquidity.
We have vowed to cut the ratio from the current 20% to 15% to meet the threshold requirement for getting listed.
The announcement comes as reports are rampant of the establishment of a domestic regulatory committee for monetary policy, but it's still not clear whether the separation from the central bank will happen soon. How do you pay your utility bills? At the bank? It's the most common answer given by Beijingers. It allows your monthly billing to be automatically deducted from your checking or savings account, saving you a lot of precious time. But often in reality, we still have to wait in long queues to get this done. Zhang Huiyi is an ordinary Beijinger in her 50s. As a homemaker, she managed the family pretty well, but complains that paying the monthly utility bills is always a headache.
During the days near the deadline, a lot of people crowd into the bank. If I'm unlucky, it usually takes me 1 hour just to get to the counter.
Her complaints is justified. After receiving utility bills for water, gas, or electricity, residents must put up with long queue. People preferring to pay by phone usually can't have the receipts until the end of the year. But Zhang Huiyi does believe her life is more convenient than before, but she hopes to receive a more efficient service in the near future.
现在咱们都是由他们直接入户查表。
Now the utility staff comes to my home each month to check the meter. It is much better than a few years ago when I had to check it myself and collect the information of my neighbors and others living in the same building. Then I had to go from door to door to collect money. Only then could I go to the bank to pay.
Things are changing.To improve the efficiency and service quality of public utilities, over the past year, water and gas suppliers are already opening up to private and foreign capital. And this year, China will further open up these utilities. Zhong Qiu has the story.
From this year, the Chinese government will open its national urban utility market to domestic and overseas investors, divesting itself of managing the massive water, gas, heat supply, sewage treatment, and public transport sectors. Minister of Construction Wang Guangtao says 2003 is the year to comprehensively open utility sectors. Domestic and overseas investors will be allowed to invest either alone or with local authorities or enterprises, and will also be allowed to invest in different utility sectors in different geographical areas. Experts say this development signals another breakup of monopolies in China following the opening up of industries such as energy generation, civil aviation, and telecommunications. Here is Zhang Cheng Yao from the Chinese Academy of Social Sciences.
The government was in bad position before. It acted as both the regulator and a player. Breaking this monopoly is the most effective way to inject vitality, motivation and pressure into utility sector, and the consumers will benefit in the end.
He says the government lacks capital, although it's the sole investor in major utility projects.It fails to provide continuous large-scale investment to meet the demand for and supply of utility products and services. These, in turn, influence many downstream industries. For example, in 1992 alone, industrial losses in China due to insufficient electricity supply rocketed to about $90 billion. Now the monopoly is set to be broken, but Zhang Cheng Yao is concerned about some problems.
We must ensure that the price is based on market competition. The regulator can fix a ceiling price to filter out monopolistic profits, but must never set the price.
Zhang Cheng Yao also says the government should be impartial when giving subsidies, otherwise unfair competition will ruin the market order.
The larger scale of the sector, the more transparent the capital market has to be.
With $50 billion expected to flow into China this year, how will it be introduced into the utility sector? Zhang Cheng Yao says the fledgling capital market must get prepared as early as possible. For Biz China, I'm Zhong Qiu.
This is Biz China, CRI's business feature every Tuesday. I'm Ling Ling.As we reported in last edition of Biz China, Disneyland began the construction of its latest theme park, and this time it is focusing on Hong Kong. Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, and Snow White are offering more than just smiles and fun. This time they are burdening the responsibility of giving the city's tourism services a timely boost.5 million visitors are expected to be lured to the park each year by the lowest Disney entrance fee around the world. The Hong Kong-based park will also generate nearly 30,000 job opportunities. However, as the old saying goes, don't count your chickens before they are hatched. It is still too early for Hong Kong Disneyland to take this financial success for granted.It is the company's third overseas theme park, following Tokyo, a raging success, and Paris, a dismal flop. Disneyland will be hoping to emulate the former rather than the latter. Set up more than a decade ago, Disneyland Paris has been in the red since it opened, and looks set to remain there despite increasing numbers of visitors every year.Paris' poor performance is also clouding the prospect of Hong Kong Disneyland.How much can Mickey Mouse help the SAR strengthen and consolidate its position as Asia's most popular international destination? To find out these answers, BizChina interviewed U.S. tourism expert Dr. Andy Nazarychuk.
Welcome to my program again, Dr. Nazarychuk. I know you are from the United States, so how many times have you been to Disneyland, either Disneyland or Disney World, back in your hometown?
My parents took me to Disneyland twice when I was a young boy.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to take my four children to Disney World or Disneyland. So I've been there at least six or seven times over the years.
So from your own experience, what do you think attracts either you or your children or your parents to Disneyland so many times?
Well, you know, all of the famous characters, Mickey Mouse and mm-hmm. Sleeping Beauty, all of those characters are part of every childhood, you know, fantasies and stories. So an exciting experience for a young child to go to because Disneyland is where all the magic begins.
Mm-hmm. In terms of Disneyland's operational model, what do you think makes it so successful?
You know, Disneyland has one of the best operations of any companies because they have excellent training. The characters are high quality, and the facilities are the cleanest facilities that you will find anywhere. So the combination of quality, good service, entertainment really give you great value for the money that you do spend to go to Disneyland.
Now Hong Kong Disneyland has kicked off its construction, and I noticed the move came as the city is still on its way back following the 1997 Asian financial crisis. So in your opinion, how would such a big project help Hong Kong's revival?
A positive move like this that helps the city revive. Good to see Hong Kong have something as positive as a Disneyland being built, because maybe that will help bring more positive activities to Hong Kong and help them move ahead and get past this negative period in their history.
Mm-hmm. At the launching ceremony, Hong Kong officials expressed the hope that Hong Kong Disneyland will greatly help transformation of Hong Kong from a traditional trade port to a more international metropolis. So as you understand it, how would such an idea come into practice?
Hong Kong has always been famous as a shopping city and a city to go for great food. This will give a new dimension to Hong Kong, as Disneyland will give people another reason to visit and spend some time. So the combination of a major destination theme park such as Disneyland, plus the shopping, plus the great food, will revive the image of Hong Kong as a place to be.
You are listening to China Radio International. This is our weekly feature program, Biz China. We are now inviting a tourism expert to offer us his opinion of Disneyland Hong Kong. Please stay tuned. Hong Kong Disneyland is Walt Disney's third overseas park following Japan and France. But as far as I know, financially speaking, Disney is getting different rewards from Asia and Europe. So how would you interpret the result? And much of my concern is how can we make sure up to $3.5 billion of investment can get returned in Hong Kong in 2 years?
The Disneyland in Europe had some financial difficulties. They had to change their model in order to make it profitable. But I believe that Hong Kong will probably be the most profitable Disneylands of all of them, only because of the location and the fact that in China, every family will want to take their children to Disneyland at least one time. And so the volume of people that will be going to Disneyland is anticipated to be over 10 million visitors each year. And I believe that the Hong Kong Disneyland will not only meet the forecast of 10 million, will probably exceed that, making it one of the most profitable of all the Disneylands.
I just got to know that another international entertainment venue, Snoopy Theme Park, is to land in South China's Guangdong province. And I think from your own experience in China, you may also notice various kinds of theme parks here. Statistics at my hands show that there are more than 1,000 theme parks across the country. So do you have worries that repetitive construction would disperse tourist sources, domestic tourists, and finally result in a double lose situation?
No, I think that there's a great need for more theme parks or more different varieties of theme parks in China. The whole country is beginning to travel. There is more emphasis on taking vacations, and I believe that the Chinese people are looking for new ways to spend their vacation time, and especially because they want to take their children to different things while they're young. I think a Snoopy theme park, for example, would be a great addition. And it just the fact that they have quality theme parks to bring their children will be a great asset. So right now, for the Chinese domestic market, there is a great demand for new activities. And so the Disneyland in Hong Kong and the Snoopy Park will be two new places for people to go. And I believe they'll be very successful just because of the population that wants to go to these type of activities.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Nazarychuk, for sharing with us your opinions.
Thank you very much. It's always a pleasure to be on your show.
This is the world's fastest growing economy.
Most attractive for me is really the pragmatism of Chinese people and the hunger for growth, the extraordinary entrepreneurship of Chinese people.
This is the world's largest labor market.
Movement from rural to urban areas is to some extent inevitable.
And this is a country whose greatest changes are taking place in its economic structure.
I have watched the Chinese economy for 20 years and seen it change so dramatically, seen it deal with such great difficulties. So I have great confidence looking forward.
With an in-depth knowledge of this dynamic country, the CRI Biz China team brings you up-to-date features covering every aspect of the Chinese economy. Biz China, every Tuesday right here on CRI.
Marching to China. That's the consensus reached by foreign TV giants at the dawn of the further opening up of China's media service. Their first step to take is to get permits from limited access. As the country's further implementation to fulfill WTO commitments, China has pledged to open its media market to foreign investment. And to celebrate the new year, more than 30 overseas satellite TV channels have got the go-ahead to open up in selected areas of the country. How are their preparations going, and what does China's media look in their eyes? Shen Ting takes a look.
For some international networks like CNN and BBC, the approval is just a contract renewal. They entered the Chinese market before the country's WTO accession over a year ago, and the news and media giants have broadcast programs to spots across the country, not to the general populace, but mainly to luxury hotels and foreign compounds. The latest opening upstage involves introducing some new faces to the market. New York-based Bloomberg and Hong Kong-based Infonews are some of the most celebrant new entrants. Thanks to the commercial arm of the nation's broadcasting regulator, the State Administration of Radio, Film and Television, they will be allowed to broadcast 24-hour feeds to all hotels with a 3-star or higher rating and selected foreign compounds. According to Brian Martinez, regional news director of Asia-Pacific for Bloomberg TV, the most populated market in the world is a great attraction.
The attraction for us, obviously, is China's growth in the future and what we have to offer in information.
Being a leading global business information provider, Bloomberg has an advantage in offering professional news. And that, according to Martinez, is exactly what Chinese businesses are in greatest need of.
Well, Bloomberg is a global financial network. It's also a financial information company. And through that financial information company, we have reporters around the world. So what you see on Bloomberg Television is what comes together as reporting as a whole from all of our reporters based around the world. So what you're seeing is a culmination of global content. So we report on everything from China markets to New York, to Europe, and we actually follow the sun, which is quite interesting, which is different than other business channels. As the sun is coming up in Tokyo is when we start our programming in Tokyo. As the day ends and Tokyo is our Asia base, we hand off to London and we follow the European markets. And then we hand off to New York, and then New York hands off back to Tokyo, and this goes 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It gives China viewers access to the global markets.
Overseas media is expected to develop not only a modern news model in China, but also to provide more choice for the domestic audience. Here is the Executive Vice President of News Corporation, Hyung-Shin Liu.
I think more and more signs of people are allowed to do that, both in television and in film. So we understand there's a great need for entertainment, for kind of information, and we believe there's a great room to grow as the economy grows. So are the expectations for content as well as for leisure.
With the advent of overseas media, a battle between foreign services and their domestic counterparts is just around the corner. Is their participation a positive step forward for the Chinese media? Maybe not. Journalism professor Li Shiguang from Tsinghua University is a firm opponent of introducing foreign investment into domestic media.
I think it's really a setback to Chinese media industry. As we know that the most competitive product in TV industry is news program. And the Chinese news and Chinese press is not open yet. And at this stage of development, when China, its own TV is closed, and we let the foreign TV, which have an open news policy, and the Chinese TV program will be surely defeated, and they will suffer not only in viewing, in rating, but also in advertisement.
The journalism professor says the reasons are very obvious.
The reason is, first, they have well-trained professional journalists, and secondly, they know where the news value is.
He says the current gulf between producers and broadcasters among the Chinese media service may put the industry in a less competitive position. And although it sounds like a reform policy, it actually creates too many commercial problems.
If you look at CEA, if you look at Phoenix, we know that most of the popular programs have not a problem with this kind of zhibo-fenli separation between producer and broadcaster. In Chinese way, the producer and the editor and reporter do not have a sense of loyalty to the TV station, and they are not part of this hierarchy within this TV station, and so they don't know where they will end eventually, if even they produce best program. But with CNN, with the Washington Post and the New York Times and the traditional media, they started their job from the lowest reporter there, all the way to the senior writer and the senior producer, executive producer. They know where they will end.
He therefore prescribes some solutions.
I think China at the moment is not a problem of opening up its market. It must think about how to open up its market. It should have create this spirit, enhance or cultivate the spirit of professionalism, and starting press reform before it opens up its media market, TV market to foreign investors.
For Biz China, I'm Shen Ting.
The professor's viewpoints are clouding the prospect of an opening up of China's media service, but this does not mean the process will be slowed down. Most recently, publication management rules have been adjusted to allow more foreign and private capital into the newspaper and magazine distribution industry. And in order to ready itself for changes, domestic media companies are also trying to defend themselves by going abroad. China's Central Television, or CCTV, has started its own programs in parts of North America and Europe, thanks to link-ups with overseas partners. Okay, with that, we come to the end of this edition of Biz China. If you have any comments or suggestions, please don't hesitate to contact us, writing to bizchina@cri.com.cn. Again, that's bizchina@cri.com.cn. Looking forward to hearing from you. And finally, as Chinese Lunar New Year, the Spring Festival is much closer. On behalf of our Biz China team and our language editor, Elliot Wilson, wishing you a very happy new year. And over the coming 2 weeks, our regular programs will be substituted by CRI special programs. So join us in 2 weeks' time. In Beijing, I'm Ling Ling, saying goodbye and thanks for listening.
As a CRI listener, you can make your favorite programs even better.
Write a letter to CRI English, Beijing, China, 10040. Or drop an email message to CRIENG@CRI.com.CN. Your insights and